Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, and we're going to begin at verse 1, and we're going to focus at verse 8 and following. This is God's Word. "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. You want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Let no debt remain outstanding. He has just said, pay your taxes. If you owe revenue, pay it. Well, some of us, well, I'm not even going to say us because this has not been my pattern, but I know some folks who would consider themselves fine, upstanding people and perhaps even Christians who say, I'm going to pay it. You know, I'll pay it, but they don't pay it promptly. When we started the ranch, one of the policies we adopted was not to wait until the last minute that a bill was due to pay it. We paid the bill when we got the bill. This was noted by a number of businesses that were not used to being paid promptly, and hence they were happy to do business with us. That is just good practice, folks. You say, well, I don't have the money right now. Well, then why did you buy the object? Okay? Why did you hire the man if you couldn't pay him? Don't spend money you don't have. Let no debt remain outstanding. If you have the money, I use credit cards. I know that Ramsey would say I shouldn't. But I've been using credit cards for years because I find it a convenient way of not having to carry around a wad of cash and be sure, what if I decide to do this? I better have some extra. No, I have a credit card. But if with my credit card, I buy something, at the end of the month, when the bill comes, what I get is a copy of what is being deducted from my checking account. Okay? I don't have to write a check. It's an auto draft, and it's pay in full. Credit card companies don't like me, which delights my heart. But you see, I don't have to pay interest because I'm not only never late, it's immediate, boom, out of the account, paid in full. That's just biblical. You're using credit cards then, is something you think we need to do? No, paying your bills right when they're due is what you need to do. Don't wait till the last. Immediately pay it, okay? You say, well, I'm having a bit of a hard time. I need some financial help. Well, credit is not the way to do it. The body of Christ is the way to do it. Well, that would be embarrassing to tell somebody I have a need. Well, might be embarrassing, but it's what you need to do. The body of Christ is a family. And we're supposed to love each other, but I'll tell you this. That doesn't mean that the body of Christ is supposed to say yes to everybody, everywhere, about whatever they want. My father-in-law was amazed that when I was with him on the streets of Houston, where he was hit up for money every day going to and from work, panhandler came up to me and said, you know, hey man, can you spare some money? And I said no, and kept walking. And my father-in-law said, I can't believe you just did that. And I said, what? He said, you just said no. You didn't make any excuses or anything else. I said, well, I don't know where your local mission is here in town, but I said, what I do is I support ministries that are ready to feed and house and offer job training and drug rehabilitation and all kinds of other things for people who are in need. And I said, so I would encourage you, if you're being hit up with this every day, find out who's sharing the gospel with people in need as they feed them and house them and clothe them and so forth, and then put your money there and give the guy directions to that mission next time he asks you for money. That's not being mean, that's being helpful. Because an addict doesn't need for you to help them buy their next hit. Are you saying it's wrong to give a person money? No, I'm saying you need to be guided by the Lord, but as a matter of principle, as a normal way of operating, you love someone enough to address their needs. It would be easier to pass out cash on the street because you ought to be giving more to the mission than you would be passing out in cash. Now, what the Lord has prompted me to do on a number of occasions, by the way, when I encounter someone who just needs diapers for their child or money for food or something like that, is to buy them diapers for their child that I want to see. Oh, I'd love to meet your child. I've taken them into restaurants with me to eat. Okay? I don't just say, here's some money, go in there. I say, come with me. Now, that means you have to invest time as well as money. But if the Lord prompts you to do that, you need to do it. And I've had some very interesting conversations with people who apparently had not had anybody willing to give them the time of day in a long time. Pastor Wood, why are you telling us all this? Because we're supposed to love our neighbor. That's the command. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. So, if I love my fellow man, I don't need to worry about the law, like, you know, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. I can go ahead and do those things. I can steal and commit adultery and all that stuff as long as I love people, right? No. If you love people, you're not going to do that stuff. But instead of walking around with a list of commandments, oh, let's see, is this on the list? No, I guess I can do that. Instead of walking around with a list of commandments, you're walking around as a Christian with God living inside you, and He loves people. And so, we're told, love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. If you want to see what the perfect fulfillment of the law looks like, look at Jesus. Because He is love incarnate. He did exactly what God commands.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Verse 11 of Romans 13. Do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Some folks profess faith in Christ, but then it's like, hello? Anybody home? Do you know Jesus? Are you living for Him? The time has come to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Now, when you read that, you get the impression that Paul was expecting the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Don't you get that impression? And that's what it sounds like. I believe the reason for that is because Paul was expecting the imminent return of Jesus Christ, which is precisely the way that God's people ought to live. We're supposed to be longing for His return, not hoping He doesn't come soon. I've actually heard young people say, when I was a young person, and that was a long time ago, but I've actually heard young people say, well, I hope the Lord doesn't come until after I'm married. I'm thinking, what? You're going to be part of the wedding feast with the bridegroom, and you are concerned about your earthly wedding and wanting to be sure that happens first? There's nothing here that can compare with what awaits us. It's going to be so wonderful, so glorious, that we should be longing for that. And from Paul's perspective, it can happen anytime. Be ready. Be watching. I've studied
this thing carefully, Pastor, and it seems to me there are actually a number of things that have to take place before the Lord can come again.
Really? Well, I hope you let Him know. Okay? Because God in His Word tells us what our attitude should be, and that is every day we're closer to seeing Him face to face. And you know what? The Apostle Paul has already seen Him face to face. And so have my parents, who when they were younger than me, were looking for the return of the Lord anytime. That should be our attitude. Are we wanting Jesus to come just so we can get out of here? I have days like that. I have days when I see the evil and the suffering in this world, and it's just like, oh, Lord, please get us out of here. But that's not the best perspective. Do you want to see Jesus? But what Paul tells us here is that in light of that, we've got some things we need to do.
So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Even after you're saved, we still are beset at times, especially, with sinful desires. We want to do something we know we shouldn't do. How many of you within the last month have been tempted to do something you know you shouldn't do? Really? Sinful desires are something that we know well. And we should note that God tells us in His Word we need to get rid of those things. Not engage in these things. It has always kind of jarred me in a way that I need to be jarred to read in Ephesians, written to the saints at Ephesus, let him who has been stealing steal no longer. You mean there might be somebody in the church who is dishonest and stealing? Apparently so. Apparently so. Well, Christians aren't supposed to do that. Precisely, which is why let him who has been stealing steal no longer. He doesn't say, cut back on your stealing. Listen, I just want to ask you, you know, as a brother in Christ, you need to really reduce the amount. How much have you been stealing from your employer? 2%. Cut it back to just 0.5%, would you? No. Cut it out. Don't steal anymore. Christians, don't just continue in sin that grace may abound. It does happen sometimes that Christians engage in these kinds of behaviors. But if they are engaging in those kinds of behaviors, they need to repent and stop it. Not just cut back on it.
Some of you may have noticed my wife is not here this morning. She just finds it very embarrassing to come down here when I've given her a black eye. But I want you to know that I used to beat my wife all the time. Now that doesn't happen more than once every couple of weeks.
Would that be okay? No, the reason she's not here is because she doesn't want to give you the contagious respiratory problem that she's having right now. That's why she's at home. All right? No black eyes. Never given her one. Okay? The fact of the matter is, and I'll go ahead and say this for whoever needs to hear it, including those online, it is disgusting for any man to be violent toward a woman. Period. My father found out that a woman in his church was being beaten on occasion by her husband when he would get drunk. And he was very frustrated, just thought it was despicable. The husband was not in church, but he said, knowing there might be other women in a similar situation, I wish the next time that happens, you'd just pick up an end table and break it over his head. About 5 days later, we were headed out as a family for a rare family evening, and the phone rang, and this man said, please, Pastor, I need you to come to our house. Dad said, I'm sorry, we're getting the family in the car, and we're going out together as a family. He said, no, this is really important, Pastor. I wouldn't call you if it wasn't. Please come over. So we went. Dad said, we'll stop by on the way, and so we stopped by in front of the house, and I did what I often did and jumped out and went with Dad to the door because I would often accompany, when I was in elementary school, actually even when I was in preschooler, I would accompany my dad on ministry visits. And so I went up to the front door and the man came to the front door and he was in a t-shirt and he had blood all over the shirt and a gash in his head. And my dad said, son, go get in the car. So I went and got in the car. Dad went in the house, visited for a little while, and then he came out, and we drove on down the road. I said, Daddy, what happened? And he said, well, you remember when I said on Sunday that
I wish next time one of these husbands was getting violent with his wife, the wife would just break a table over his head. She apparently took that literally. I'm just telling you, it's not okay. Understand? Men ought not to be hitting their wives. Wives ought not to be hitting their husbands. But wives ought not to put up with husbands hitting them either, by the way. But God says here, to us, as Paul's writing to the church in Rome, let us behave decently as in the daytime. In other words, don't do stuff that you would have to do in secret because you don't want people to see it. You know, we do that kind of thing in the dark. Well, turn on the lights, okay? Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. As Paul says in the passage we read from Galatians, those who live like that are not going to be in heaven. They're not. So stop it. Well, can a person who's done something like that still go to heaven? Absolutely. God forgives, but you can't live like that. You can't just keep on in sin. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our aim should be to be filled with the Holy Spirit and dressed in Him. When we looked at Ephesians together, we saw that all the pieces of the armor that we are to wear are found in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we need for victory in spiritual warfare is in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, we put on the armor of light. That's what he says in verse 12. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Well, what's some way I could do this that would be okay? No, it's not okay. Don't try and figure out a way to do the wrong thing that'll be okay. That's what he's saying. Well, I can't control my thoughts. Yes, you can. You can't totally shut out the world and totally shut out temptation, but you can definitely have a big impact on it. Martin Luther described it this way. You cannot prevent the birds from flying overhead, but you can prevent them from nesting in your hair. Is that clear? So when evil desires and evil thoughts come to you, you need to change your focus. Start listening to Christian music. Start reading your Bible. Cry out to God. Say, Lord, help me. I don't want to do what the enemy's trying to get me to focus on right now. Please, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me to think your thoughts after you. But you're still going to sometimes have evil desires. Yes, and what are you supposed to do with them? Put them to death. Put them to death. Say, that person is dead. This one doesn't do that. I'm a child of God, and I want to please Him. This is instruction on how to live as a Christian. Beginning in chapter 12, remember. Chapters 1 through 11. We're all about how God saved us. This is not how to get saved. Chapter 12 and following is all about how to live as one who has been saved. So don't think we're trying to lay down the law. What is the whole law about? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus said. What Paul's saying, because it's what God says. We're called to this, to live a life of holiness, to live a life of love. And we do it because He first loved us.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.